This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Maybe over, but we are just getting started here on Post Show Recap. My name is Marissa Garza, and there is no one else I'd like to return to the family drama, trauma genre with than my partner in crime, Jason Reed. Jason, how are you?
Marissa, I'm great. Get your tissues ready.
Get them out.
We're here to cry with you, to console you through Dear Edward, as we go through this wonderful journey together as we grieve these imaginary people.
Well, yeah. And also, like, reconsider air travel. Like, I don't know if this happened for you. Like, there were a lot of air travel situations in this first episode.
Marissa, I told you before we got on the pod today, yes. I said, I've had a very interesting day.
Yes, let's hear
but
it.
I want to save it for the podcast. And I want to start this out by saying this was unintentional. I did not realize this until I was in the middle of it. But today was a day. I got off work early. Okay. My wife was getting off work early.
Oh, bonus.
So I said, hey, let's go catch a movie.
Ooh.
What movie?
Did you see the plane movie?
Yeah. What movie is playing that we want to see? I said, oh, everyone wanting to see this movie where Leonidas and Luke Cage get together and you know, save people from whatever because they're on a plane. The movie is starting, the plane is crashing, because that's what the movie's about. It's about the movie's called A Plane, and the movie is about the plane crashing and what happens to the people on the plane. I'm literally starting Dear Edward, and I'm seeing like the troubles in the cockpit, and I'm like, wait a minute. Why has my whole day been revolved around planes crashing?
Oh, man.
Should I take this as a
sign?
Oh, no. Not to get on a plane the next opportunity I get.
At least today. Like, don't get on a plane today. That is a sign. Like,
as the captain in the cockpit is like, get the cabin ready for a ditching. I said, that's the exact same word that Leonidas used in the plane movie.
What if they're in the same universe?
You know what? I can't even imagine. Like, my mind was blown. I was like, this was so unintentional. And I didn't even like put two and two together while I was watching the first thing that I'm watching something about a plane crashing in the next thing. So yeah, it's a sign from the heavens, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I take this two ways. One, don't get on a plane today, or two, become a pilot. These are the two.
Maybe it's telling me not to become a pilot. Yeah. It's showing me how hard it is to be a pilot.
Or that's now, like, the world needs good pilots.
I gotta say, the Dear Edward pilots did not do nearly as much as they should have, like Leonidas did in the plane movie. Leonidas got all their people, most of their people, safely on the ground when they had plane trouble. These captains here in Dear Edward, I don't know what they were doing, but they obviously did not do well.
Yeah. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
There was a plane crash. All right. Well, before we get into all of that, I love that the universe did align for you today, though. Planes. Did you were in an automobile. Maybe you just need to get on a train. Maybe that's what it's saying. Planes, trains, automobiles. Yeah. Something like that. Or
maybe you just need to take a bike. Maybe you just need to ride a bike everywhere. Like, I can't get on stuff that's like mechanical. Like, I don't know.
Well, before we get into it, I do just want to remind everyone of a few housekeeping reminders. So this show, Dear Edward, premiered today, Friday, the 3rd of February on Apple TV+. Three episodes were dropped today, but we are only covering the premiere right now. And then tomorrow we'll come to you with coverage for episodes 2 and 3. After that, we will have weekly coverage for a total of 10 whole episodes. This will take us all the way to the end of March. So we are with you.
Misery.
Yes. And maybe like some self-discovery, some Friday Night Lights, crying. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But if you are looking for all of our episodes, you can easily find them in our very own feed at posturerecaps.com/Dear Edward, or you can simply search Dear Edward PSR or Dear Edward Posture Recaps wherever you find your podcast these days. All right, Jason, shall we get into it?
We'll get into it. We'll go through this tragic episode of television. It was so weird watching this episode, being like, this is basically like all these people are doing before they die.
Yes. Yeah.
This is creepy. This is weird. But yeah, let's get into it.
All right. Well, Dear Edward, the story itself is based on a book by Anne Napolitano. I did not know. I just want you to, listeners, to know. I'm coming in blind to this whole situation. Jason, I think, is as well. We have not read the book. We are just experiencing the show episode by episode. So if you know more than us, please don't spoil us, but we'd love for you to be part of the conversation.
Yeah, in my post-show recaps journey thus far, I've done a few properties that have been either based on a real life event or like an event and a book, and I always prefer to come in not reading those things if I haven't already, because one, I don't really want to be spoiled, and two, I don't want to just keep making comparisons while I'm watching the show. I can go back and like look up the comparisons if I want after the show's over, after the first episode's over, see what's different.
Yeah.
But I like to come in just kind of a little blind to it.
Yeah. I'm not one to like read a book for seeing something. If I have read a book beforehand, that's kind of cool. Or sometimes I'll read a book afterwards to kind of do the comparison the other way.
Yeah.
But this book is at a solid 4 across both Goodreads and Storygraph. We got a 4.08 and a 4.05. So it's high up there out of 5 stars. The blurb for the book, just in case you're interested if the book is any different than the movie, this is all I know about the book. It says, one summer morning, 12-year-old Edward Adler, his beloved brother, his parents, and 183 other passengers board a flight in Newark headed to Los Angeles. Among them is a Wall Street wonder kid, a woman coming to terms with an unexpected pregnancy, an injured vet returning from Afghanistan, a septuagenarian business tycoon, and a free-spirited woman running away from her controlling husband. And then, tragically, the plane crashes. Edward is the sole survivor.
That's interesting. Like a lot of the surrounding characters are much different in the book, apparently.
Yeah, I was thinking about this, and I think that like they were trying to hint at specific parts of this in like the TSA line. There was that one couple where he was like, "I don't want you to go," and she's like, "Yeah, yeah." I was like, "Is that supposed to be this couple?" Or there was a guy in a military uniform on the plane, and he ordered a beer, and so I didn't know if they were trying to like make nods to this, or if we will see these characters come to fruition later on. But that was the blurb from the book. There is kind of a debate as to whether this is like adult fiction or young adult fiction, like if it's too young for young kids.
There are a lot of themes that maybe some parents, I think it may be based on your parenting style and what you are okay with your kids reading, watching, whatever you so call. Because I mean, this does deal with a lot of like death themes here.
Yeah, I think it's like a parental supervision, or at least support, it was advised.
Yeah.
And then the show, so that was the book. The show was created by the same creator who did Friday Night Lights and Parenthood. Have you watched either of these?
I think I'm going to be flamed for this, but I have not seen either one of the Jason Kadam properties.
Whoa.
It's on my list, but you know, with today's media, the list just keeps getting longer longer. And things just keep getting knocked down the list. So, you know, I know that these are critically acclaimed shows. I know they are both meant to be tearjerkers. But listen, we just finished This Is Us recently, which is just, you know, which is its tearjerker of its own. So there's only room in my life for a limited amount of depressing shows.
Can I just tell you, like, TikTok keeps serving me This Is Us clips again, and I was like, whoa, the trauma. Like, it's back. It's
the algorithm
knows. Still, yeah, it's still in me. As for myself, I watched a few episodes of Friday Night Lights, but I have watched and rewatched Parenthood a couple of times. It's pretty good. So I am interested to see if what kind of themes both kind of like deal with the telling a story in one setting and then flipping to another, which we see a lot already in Dear Edward. So it's not surprising that he's continuing with that here. So in this episode, basically, we meet a bunch of people.
A bunch of people. Too many? What do you think?
Yeah, I was like trying to like put the notes together and I'm like, I don't know. And that they didn't really introduce a lot of the characters' names. So I was like looking at IMDb and I'm like, I think this is this person. So I apologize if I get any names wrong in this recap. It was really hard to sort of match up.
Yeah, my notes were like political lady.
Yeah, they put like VIP person.
Connie Britton and daughter. Like, those were my notes because they gave no one names to begin with. Like, you know, usually they would like set us up with names. Like, I had to figure out the names of, you know, Edward's mom's sister and her husband afterwards. So I was like, did they even mention their names? I had to look it up.
Yeah, yeah. It was, I mean, it's going to, well, I'm going to say, like, some of them we never will talk to again, but it would have been nice to know their names, you know?
I think if the show stays true to what this premiere set up, I think we'll get a lot of flashbacks. So we may still, you know, see these characters, you know, in flashback form.
That's true. That's true. Did any particular group stand out to you? Do you want to start with anyone particular?
You know, let me see who really stuck out to me. I really enjoyed Congresswoman Washington and Adriana, her granddaughter.
Yes.
So we can start with that.
Okay. So we get introduced to Congresswoman Washington by, as I put in my notes, VIP woman in fancy car. She's basically like very important. She's got a lot of things to do. And she has an assistant with her. We learn later on that she is in fact a congresswoman. And the person who is helping her is her aide, who is also her granddaughter, Adriana. And they have this relationship that's full of a lot of rules in between them because they don't want to like cross any work-life balance boundaries there. And throughout this time, Adriana is kind of like questioning what she wants to do with her career. And she thinks she can really help someone in Congresswoman Washington's like jurisdiction. That goes a little bit awry. And at the end, she like loses her faith in politics and drops out and leaves helping her grandma.
Yeah, this story was really interesting just because like it confused me a little by the end because the grandma was like, you know, just you can quit, but just remember, don't give up because something is hard or something like that. I didn't think that matched up with what the story was leading us to to think about why she was quitting.
Yeah, because they like have dinner at this bar throughout a couple of scenes we get with them, and Congressman Washington wants like Adriana to take her seat, to run for her seat, and it's like she's like, now speaking as your grandma, when the boss offers you her job, you take it.
Dumbass is what she's
like, oh, okay,
all right, cool.
And then like the last thing she says to Adriana is, you know, you can do it or something like that, like don't give up. So I don't know. I'm sure now knowing that those were, that was the last words Adriana heard from her grandma, those were going to weigh very heavily on what Adriana does after the crash. And stick with her for a while. It was kind of sad to see, you know, the reality, I guess, of public service, where Adriana did try to help Byron, who definitely was in need of mental and social services. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she gets as close to making that happen for him as she can. And unfortunately, he dies by suicide because he couldn't take it anymore. And so that really throws her for a loop as well.
Yeah. I mean, I wondered, I didn't really get a good sense of her mindset of like, after she's offered to maybe take her grandmother's seat, maybe she could think, you know, maybe I could do better by, you know, being in my grandma's position. She's just like, no, I'll quit. We don't really get a good sense of what she is planning to do after this? You planning to go into directly helping by being a social worker or another profession in that vein? I just felt it was a little uneven, but overall, I liked the acting. I liked the portrayal of Congresswoman Washington and Adriana. So I enjoyed the story, for the most part.
Yeah, I got a sense that Congresswoman Washington was like a legend and someone that people like really looked up to too. So her loss is probably going to be felt beyond Adriana too, and she might have to deal with like people coming up to her and like talking about her grandma all the time. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Where shall we go next?
Let's see. Let's go to Connie Britton and her whole family. Dee Dee and the family.
I was surprised that her name was Dee Dee, to be
honest. Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. So Dee Dee and Zoe are a affluent New York family, basically. Charles is the dad. He's traveling all the time. Connie Britton, of course, we know from White Lotus season one, Nashville, I think also in Friday Night Lights. Like
she's the wife of the coach. She was pretty big character. That's what most people know Connie Britton from. That's what I know Connie Britton from. And I ain't watched the show.
Notes are hard sometimes, you know?
I with White Lotus in Nashville. I was like, damn.
White Lotus is good, though.
I think she was in Friday Night Lights. I think she had a bit role in Friday Night Lights.
Maybe. Hey. You didn't even watch it.
And I know she's a central character.
That's okay. So she's there with Zoe. Zoe is, I guess your typical college student. It turns out that Zoe and Dee Dee share the same birthday, so Zoe's taking her scooter to go meet her mom for birthday lunch, which apparently has been something they've done since they were five. It's kind of like this big whole day where they have a big fancy lunch, they have a shopping spree, they basically do whatever they want, and dad pays for everything, and it's just like a super great day. And I was like, wow, that would be great. I would love that. The thing that was funny to me was that they were sneaking champagne like since she was 18. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Definitely fits the profile, I think. So, I the story didn't do much for me, to be honest. I was like, I think of all the stories, this had the least amount of weight for me. I do enjoy me some Connie Britton, so don't ever mistake that. Not enough to watch her in many of her shows, honestly. I tried to remember, I said that.
You cannot
and I was like,
say anything to me then.
No, I said that and I was like, wait a minute. Where do I even know Connie Britton from? Because I feel like I even knew her before Friday Night Lights.
Where did you know her from? Yeah, she goes way back, I think.
Yeah, because I haven't watched White Lotus season one. I have not watched Nashville. I did not watch Friday Night Lights. So I'm like, where did I fall in love with Connie Britton? I'm not even sure. Spin City.
Good call.
Spin City. Yes. Yeah. That's where I fell in love with Connie Britton. That right there is where I was introduced to her. So I've been a fan of Connie Britton for a long time. Not big enough of a fan to follow her to whatever show she's on. But I have fond memories of liking Connie Britton, opposite of Michael J. Fox, apparently.
Maybe this is gonna like rekindle the love in your heart for her.
Maybe, but yeah, I have hopes that maybe her role will be meatier and juicier down the line. Because I feel like there's definitely a lot of things that were not said about her and her husband's relationship.
Yeah,
we get hints of that with Zoe asking, if it's everything okay, and Dee Dee kind of just brushing it off. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen in that storyline. I just felt like for this premiere episode, I didn't get a lot out of it.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they set her up to be like a character that like never really has to worry about anything. The biggest things I took away from it is that like she wants a bigger life than she has, but she's putting it on hold because of Charles and all of his like travel and things like that. Because when Zoe asks like, hey, is there anything weird between you and dad? She's like, well, he travels a lot, but after he's done with work, that's when the adventure will begin. That's when the fun will begin. So I have a feeling now that Charles is no longer here, she's going to have a lot of unstuck energy.
Here's my prediction.
Yes.
And I, you know, tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
We're going to find out that even though there's this like veneer of wealth and money, that we're going to find out through Charles's, and to be honest with you, this is the first time I'm realizing that Charles is his name, because again, they didn't give him a name.
I only know because of the text message.
There you go. I think maybe once Charles is dead, we discover that maybe the finances are not as great as it seems. Ooh. Maybe he's in a lot of debt for some reason, and maybe we have to scale back, you know, Connie Britton's lifestyle. Sorry, Dee Dee's lifestyle, and she has to deal with both the grief of losing her husband and the realization that she, you know, is not going to be as wealthy as she used to be. That's just a guess, and maybe I'll have some other like premonitions of what we could see with other storylines, but that's just a guess right now for her.
And there, so she's seeing your crystal ball. Yeah, I could see that. I could see the House of Cards kind of falling down after this a little bit in terms of what their life might look like. Yeah, I mean, they're just a rich family that has stuff.
Yeah, I'll say this. The family, you know, I didn't really relate to a lot of the families or a lot of the people in the show. Something that I kind of criticized This Is Us about as well was like, our main character in This Is Us were all like these affluent, like,
yeah,
you know, people I didn't relate to a lot. I related to certain characters for certain reasons.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, these rich people are having bad problems.
Sometimes I feel like, and this is a very generalized statement coming from watching television, I think that sometimes it's harder to write about, like, I think sometimes shows just take the privileged route because it's harder to write about the real life situation of it.
Yeah, maybe some of those writers just don't have that real life experience to pull from,
or you're like bringing in politics and things like that maybe you don't want brought into the show. And so it's just kind of like everyone lives above this line in television land.
Yeah.
And because very rarely do we see conversations about like how much is a carton of eggs you know, something like that. So
eggs are very expensive nowadays, in case y'all didn't know.
It's true. I mean, we get some of that on Last of Us, but you can say that we are on our way there, but we are not there yet. So we've got some time on that front. But yeah, that's a good observation. All right, before we talk about Eddie, we do have Acuna to talk about. Acuna, I think, again, this was me putting context clues together. I think that was her name. She's the actress from Ghana. She was headed to LA because she's got a big movie audition for Spike Jones.
Spike Jones.
A little. I was like, okay, all right. What movie are you making these days, Spike?
Good. Like a nice, nice name drop. Yeah. I didn't expect.
Yeah. She's got a daughter named Bex, which is a little weird for me because I am currently covering the show You, and there's a Bex in that situation too. So I was like, oh, I'm being stalked by Bex. Her brother Kojo lives in Ghana. I do have to say, I would not be my father's daughter if I didn't say that he was in one episode of Death in Paradise, which is a British procedural in the tropics. So it's a fun show, but he was there. But Kojo has an empire of porta potties in Ghana.
Hey, it's good.
It's a business.
You get it, man. I mean, he's the porta potty king.
Everybody poops, man.
Yeah.
So he's there. He's got his porta potties. He really wants his sister to come home. But she really, really wants to go follow her dreams. You can see her kind of, you know, I was kind of sad that her storyline got cut a little short because as I've talked about on other podcasts, I really identify and like stories of immigration and immigrants. And so when she gets on the plane, she's really like trying to practice her lines without an accent. And even though the character is, you know, supposed to be from Ghana, she's trying to de-Ghanaize herself. And so I was like, oh, are we going to get any more of that? But unfortunately, as we know, Edward's the only one that survives. But yeah, that's Akua.
Yeah, I did think with, even though we only got a little of her story, I thought the story you got was impactful.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe because it deals with a mother leaving her child, you know, the pinky promise of only one sleep until I see you again. I was like, oh,
Don't do that. That's not good. That's not good. You're lying to a little girl. You don't know you are, but you're lying. I do wonder, you know, she name checked a couple people that that Bex is going to stay with. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if we're going to see, like, I'm curious to see where Bex goes. Is Bex going to go to her uncle in Ghana, or is the people that are watching her, you know, in New York, should they seem very close to Akuya or Akuna or I don't know. They did not.
The actress lady from Ghana.
The actress lady from Ghana. I just wonder if those people are going to be taking care of her daughter or what. I'm you know, curious to see where that goes.
And I have a crystal ball on this one.
Okay, you got the premonition on this one. What you got?
It's coming in. I think Kojo is going to have to leave his empire of poop and come to the United States, which could be argued as an empire of poop, and kind of come here and then to take care of Bex, but also would then like kind of understand or sort of see the world through his sister's eyes, because he didn't really understand why she was there and not in Ghana. And so maybe he would, you know, see something and could empathize with her in that way.
He's going to leave his throne of shit.
I have like my empire of shit in my
I think that an interesting turn could be if Bex has to go to Ghana, and who knows how long Bex and her mother have been in the U.S.
It's true.
And maybe she has, you know, been, you know, re-Americanized, and going to Ghana will help her, like, even though she is a small child, like, help her relate to her roots more, where, you know, with Kojo will, I think that would be interesting. I think that would be an interesting environment for us to see in a show like this.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how well Jason Kadam specifically would be able to show us the world of Ghana. So that might be an issue.
Hopefully he hires some good people. It's not Texas football.
Right. So I would be concerned about that, but I do think also your premonition of Kojo having to uproot his life and come to America. I mean, that would be a little tricky with the immigration status. So I don't know how that would work.
That's fair. I think there's just like a connection. Like Kojo's going to be involved.
Yeah. And also could be like kind of a mix of the two, where Bex has to stay with whoever she's with right now in New York. But Kojo was also kind of parenting long distance.
Oh, like through FaceTime?
Right. Yeah. So I wonder if that will be something that we see. I'm curious. I'm curious about all these storylines, right? Because we talked about how, you know, fast-paced it was switching from storyline to storyline. But yeah. I do think the show did well in setting up these storylines and what's going and making me curious for what's going to happen with all of these storylines.
Yeah, I'm very curious about like the people we had, the people who are still here, and the connections between all of them. Yeah. They are very multifaceted characters, so I appreciated that. Even, you know, even Charles, like, just, I was trying to think if he was the septuagenarian business tycoon that was mentioned in the book blurb, but you know, by adding Dee Dee and Zoe into the picture, we get a little bit more depth to what his life might have been.
Charles is interesting because Charles did not get a single line, I don't think, in the show itself.
Yeah, he has a lot of text messages.
Yeah, I am curious as to what this coded message is that he sends to his wife, like what that means. I assume we will find out because it was kind of nonsense.
Yeah. That's true.
So I assume we'll find out down the line what that means.
I'm hoping so. Well, without further ado, I suppose we should talk about Eddie. Edward. It is called Dear Edward.
Yeah, let's talk about Eddie. Let's talk about Edward.
What are your feelings? What do you got off the top?
I really hope they do a lot of work to make me like Edward, you know, coming up, because this first episode, I'm not liking it. I'm not liking Edward so far. Maybe I'm not supposed to right now, but it was like... As the father of a once preteen who is now a teen, mm-hmm. I felt a lot of Eddie here. I was like, oof, yeah, oof,
lot of things made me go, oof, yeah.
All right. Well, Eddie is a very smart 12-year-old who is being homeschooled with his brother in New York City because he was bullied in second grade. This was like a very, it must have been a very bad bullying situation for the family to pull both kids out of public school and homeschool them. But I don't know if COVID is in this universe. I don't know.
I doubt it.
What the situation is.
I do think this is a not common, but I think a lot of homeschooling happens this way. Like, you know, there's incident at school. So it's just like, you know what? Let's just like pull you out of there. And if you have the like, the resource of like a parent that is patient enough, that is able to homeschool their kids,
has the resources and availability, because we know that Eddie's mom is a screenwriter, so it's not like she's hurting for cash, I think, in the situation. So she is able to provide for her family, allow their dad to become the homeschool teacher, and really set up this like idyllic life for themselves, for everyone except for Jordan, Eddie's older brother, who I have to say it takes a very healthy boundary, age appropriate. I don't want to hang out with my brother anymore. I still very love my brother. I still, you know, care for him, but I just want to go to public school kind of stance.
I really felt for Jordan a lot more than I did for Eddie in this premiere episode, because I mean, Jordan's this older kid who he like I said, I'm sure he wants to like hang out with kids his own age. He doesn't want to be around his pesky little brother all the time, especially since his pesky little brother is much more advanced than even Jordan is. So I felt more for Jordan here than I did for Eddie. I don't know if that was the intent of this episode. Maybe they want us to grow in love with Eddie, but you know, I definitely felt for Jordan mostly in this episode.
As an older sister, I also felt for Jordan, because I went through a phase of, I don't want to be around my sister. Like, that's not, my sister and I are 8 years apart. Eddie and Jordan are 3 years apart. And there's, you know, there's just a time where that happens. Fortunately for me and my sister, we're able to reconnect as adults. Unfortunately for Eddie and Jordan, they have a little bit of a different story.
Yikes.
They are headed to LA because mom's a screenwriter. They're all moving. This is a lot of change. They were going through Central Park, getting a falafel at the start. I don't know. They probably have good falafel in LA, I'm guessing. There was a whole conversation about this.
I mean, I don't think you have, well, I mean, you have food trucks in LA. Probably fine. This tells you that this show was like based off of a novel that was, you know, that, you know, came out a while ago, because mom is a, you know, screenwriter that has to move to LA to be a screenwriter.
Yeah, you could screenwrite from New York.
Right. You could Zoom, you could be in a Zoom writer's room nowadays. Like, you don't have to move all the way across the country just to be a writer on a TV show anymore.
And you could tell that, like, it did kind of bring some tension between the dad and the mom a little bit, because he was like, we're doing this for you and your career. And he's just like a homeschool teacher. So I don't know.
I don't know if they will touch on this like in the upcoming like flashbacks, or I wonder like how dad felt about whatever profession he was in, like having to give it up to be the homeschool teacher for the kids. Mom, Robin Tunney, who I know I know from The Mentalist.
Show. Yeah.
This show was star-studded for Jason. Like, for Jason, like, old TV show, like, watching. Like, he was like, oh my god, that's Mentalist lady. I'm sure other people will come and be like, Robin Tunney has been in so many other things. Like, no, I know her from The Mentalist. That's where I saw her first time.
Well, if she was on The Mentalist, I'm sure we will see her in other episodes here in flashbacks, because you don't waste star power like that.
No, not at all. You don't take a veteran of The Mentalist and stick her in just one episode.
The greater CBS universe.
Never mind that the key actor for The Mentalist, I don't think I've seen him in anything else since that show went off the air.
Yeah.
I think his name was Simon Baker.
Yes.
If my memory is recalling right. hey, don't waste Robin Tunney. We need her.
Yeah, we do. Well, Robin Tunney's character is related to, I don't really know her name because they didn't really tell us,
Lacey and John are the couple here. I looked it up because I was like, did we find out her name? I'm not sure.
So they're related to Lacey and John. Lacey and John already live in LA or California. It looked more like San Francisco to me than LA, but they were aware that the family was coming to LA. You could tell that they were like going through something at the start of the first couple of scenes that we see each other.
They were
but
going
then, through, like later we find out they really were going through something.
Well, when we first met them, he was going through her, if you know what I mean. If you know what I'm saying. If you know what I mean, that's where we first
it's
saw
true.
He was going to do her. You know what I mean? Just, you know, if you get my drift.
I got it. Yeah.
I was like, oh, this show. Okay.
Yeah, is this like for young adults?
Yeah, I was like, hey, this is not young adult appropriate. Like, goodness.
But they were going through that because they had gone through it going through the experience of losing three pregnancies. And so they've had three miscarriages. They still very badly want to be parents. John is saying that the doctor said, like, maybe it's time to think about adoption. This is something that Lacey does not want to hear. I thought it was really interesting. There was a scene in their nursery that they had redone three different times. And Lacey kind of, after she tells John, like, no, I don't want to think about adoption, she leans up against the wall, falls down, and starts crying. But the shot is like through the crib. So it kind of looks like she's in jail of sorts.
Oh,
like,
that's interesting.
Like that to me, I was like, oh, what is the show trying? I could be thinking too deep. I could be going too far.
That's what we're counting you for, Marissa. So don't be scared to give us your deep, like, camera angle thoughts. That's what we love about you here. I didn't think of that. I thought like it was interesting that they were shooting her through the baby's crib.
Like, that could be thought, too. Like, yeah.
You know, just because it's so, you know, her grief is so entangled with the fact that, you know, she can't have a baby.
Yeah, like she's just imprisoned by her grief.
you're mega brain on that. I can't think that far
in advance. Film class in college, and it has ruined me for like interpreting camera angles.
I'm down for it.
I'm like,
give us your expertise all the time. I love it.
Well, yes. So hopefully we will learn. I think I'm pretty sure we will hear more from the two of them as this time goes on. We don't really know at the end of this episode what's going to happen with Eddie. There's a couple of different places he can go, but I thought it was really interesting that they were like, maybe we should think about adoption, and then Eddie loses his parents. So
I mean, I don't have to read the book. I don't have to read the book to know where Eddie's going to go. Like, this is the only other family we've seen of him, and they're talking about, oh, I wish we had a child. Like, oh, it's kismet. All that needed to happen was your whole family gets killed in a plane crash for you to go to your aunt that really wants a child.
Yeah, yeah. I have a feeling we'll see that coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I think it's a safe bet.
All right. Okay, so we've recapped all the people. Now it's time to get on the plane.
Can I want to get on the plane, Marissa. Don't make me get on the plane. Don't make me get on the plane.
I just have to say, like, the amount of, I don't know if I needed for this whole plane thing. I know they were trying to, like, and maybe they were trying to do this, like, make me feel nervous just by, like, because going on a plane is not, like, at least for me, a very comfortable experience from the time I get dropped off at the airport until the time I leave the other airport. So if they were hoping to trigger that in the audience, they succeeded, at least in this audience member. But there was so much detail in this entire experience. It kind of felt like I was boarding the plane. I was going through TSA. I was doing those things.
Yeah, it definitely gave me a little bit of Lost vibes as well. Mm. Like, you know, in that first episode with the, you know what's coming. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, it's very tense and very, like, very nervous because you know what's coming, but they don't know what's coming. So they're just living their life and they're like, oh, you don't know what's about to hit you. But yeah, I mean, as I said, this is my second plane crash in media of the day. So I can't help but compare the two.
Speaking of expertise.
Yeah, I am big in the plane crash in media today. Just comparing the two, they were very similar where it's just like at first they're like, hey, y'all might want to, like, fasten your seatbelts. We're just hitting some turbulence. It's like, oh, shit, everybody sit down. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened. Flight attendants are, you know, frantically running up and down the aisles. It's like, no, seriously, put your shit down.
sit down in your seat. Little freaky boy, I'm going to need you to get back in your seat. Stop pestering your mom and telling her you hate her. You might want to tell her you love her, because if you haven't noticed, shit's going down.
Like, this is for real.
I know that you are caught up in your grief about your brother going to public school, but I'm going to need you to sit down because we're about to crash. Okay?
Yeah, in the most flight attendant way they possibly can.
Yeah. She was literally grabbing him and like throwing him back in his seat. Like, no, I'm going to need you to come here now.
No, go.
Let's go.
Well, yes. So the whole reason he had to even come up in the first place is because like Eddie's mom got a first class plane ticket.
I was like, okay, when this happened, Eddie's mom is like, I will be sitting with you guys because I got a first class ticket. I thought she was going to like give Eddie her first class ticket or give Jordan a first class ticket or something.
Or the like, dad for like, hey, you've taught these kids for like she's all like, of these years.
She's like, nah, I got work to do. I'm going to sit up in my comfy seat while y'all suffer and coach. How come we couldn't all get first class, mom? If you this big fancy screenwriter, like, what's up?
Why is the first time I, as your child, am learning about this as we are boarding the plane?
Yeah. Like rude, mom. Rude. Very rude.
I have to tell you, part of me was like, I going into this, I knew that Edward was going to be the only person that survived because, you know, they tell you and all the things.
That's the premise of the show.
Yeah. But I was like, oh, I wonder if first class seats are built differently than coach seats.
I thought,
are we going to see some sort of something?
I definitely thought that Eddie was going to get the first class seat, and then, you know, that would be part of the reason why, you know, he was separated from his family and he was the only one that survived or whatever.
Yes.
But I was like, oh, damn. My mom was like, no, I got work to do. Y'all sit back there in your poor seats. I'll be up here in the rich seats.
I've never experienced it. I don't know what that means. So
shocked me.
I was like, I don't know. Yeah, so basically everybody boards the plane pretty normally. Some of our characters are sitting next to each other. Some people we don't see until the plane goes down. So we've got a little bit of scattered things here, but the turbulence starts kind of early. We did hear when Congresswoman Washington was dropped off at the airport. She had like looked ahead and knew that there was going to be a storm, and she kind of anticipated there being turbulence. So to hear the calls of turbulence at the beginning, it's not that, you know, unexpected. Also knowing the plane was going to crash, not that unexpected, but there was a lot of turbulence for a long time.
That's what happened in Plane too. They hit a weather storm.
Spoilers!
The plane got, like, yeah, spoilers for the movie Plane. the plane got hit by lightning and like, you know, short out their stuff, so I had to do a crash landing. You know, Gerard Butler was like Sully Sullenberger and like, you know, really took charge and like made sure to try and land the plane safely, unlike these two yahoos in the cockpit in Dear Edward, who I guess just put their hands up, was like, I guess we're gonna die today. We even see them try to save the plane. Like, they're just like, oh well, huh?
They showed like it was like math, look, talk, crash.
Oh yeah. I have a whole new respect for pilots after watching Plane, because they have, I mean, listen, y'all didn't know you came here for a plane review. I'm sure there's a plane movie review that Grace and Ariel did on this network, but I'm going to give you a small one here. I have so much respect for them because Gerard Butler and his little co-pilot, they was like doing charts. They were doing graphs. I was like, all right, if the power goes out here, we got like 90 seconds to get this plane on some ground before we like just crash in the ocean. Oh, wait, I see land. It was a whole thing. I have no new respect for pilots now, because if they're like Gerard Butler, they know everything about planes. And, you know, I doubt that in real life that pilots are that knowledgeable about the mechanics of the plane.
I mean,
I don't, maybe they are. I don't know. Someone tell me. I don't know.
Yeah. If you're a pilot, write in. We'd love to hear from you.
And who also knew that like most pilots can like be badass and like take down like a whole bunch of bad guys, well, you know, if they team up with like a convict who is being transported somewhere else. That's what Plane is about. Like,
it's like Con Air.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just one con and with like 13 other people, you know, Luke Cage, if you know the Marvel MCU Luke Cage show, Mike Coulter, Luke Cage is the prisoner. And, you know, Leonidas, a.k.a. Gerard Butler, Leonidas and Luke Cage team up to take down, like, an army of bad guys.
Wow.
It's a movie. I'm going to say that. I don't know if I'll say it's a good movie, but it's a movie.
Well, from what I can tell is that there was much more plane action in Plane.
There's a lot more Plane. There's a lot of Plane mechanics in Plane. Like you found, you figured, you like got some like intuition on how planes work. This one we only saw like, oh shit, we in trouble. We about to die. Like,
yeah,
we're not gonna try to save it. We just y'all are gonna die today.
Well, during this turbulence that happens on the show, Jordan's like, this is the perfect time to tell her, don't freak out. Hey, don't freak out. It's going to be fine. Even though the plane is shaking and it feels like we're going to die, I'm going to tell you I'm going to go to public school when we get there.
Let me freak you out for a minute.
A little bit more.
While we're in this big turbulence mode here.
I mean, I get it from I don't know if I'm going to have a chance to tell you later standpoint. And he's a kid. Like, what can you do? But Eddie does not like it. This is when he rushes up to first class to be with his mom. And then he can't stay up there and he has to go back. And he's like very bothered by change. This is a big deal for him. There's more turbulence. And then the crew tells everyone to go into the brace position. And I need to talk to you about this, Jason, because I don't know if I could actually get myself in the brace position on a plane.
No one can see us right now. Like, but let's give it a shot. Hold on. Wait. Okay. I mean, I can't, like, I'm a big guy, so I can't, like,
yeah, and I'm tall. And like, I just was thinking, so brace position is like putting your head between your knees while you're in an airplane seat.
Yeah, I can't do that.
I that was the takeaway for me from watching this. Is like,
I mean, I feel like if you can do
if
that,
they call it, I don't know, man.
I feel like if you can do that, you can do some other stuff that, you know, might be beneficial to you. I don't know. If you're a certain, you know, whatever, you've got certain equipment, but we won't touch that. That's what she said, but okay. but no, I can't do that. I could get I could get like, you know, halfway down to my chest, I guess. I don't know.
Like, I go to try to get something out of my bag under the front seat, and it's like I have to contort myself in some sort of way. So I don't know if that would be beneficial.
Yeah, like I guess I'm just gonna die today because I can't do the brace.
I was like, ooh, we're gonna have to learn a different way to survive there.
I wonder if it's like, you know, when mother, like, well, they say mothers, but when people's children are in danger, they have like the superhuman strength. I wonder if we really needed it. If we were in some true like bad
probably
stuff, and we needed to do it, we could probably do it.
But then I would also think that like if my neck is like right up, I'll stop talking about this, but like right up against the seat, and then something happens with the seat, then my neck
you're
is gonna
gone. Break your neck.
I don't know.
Someone explain the physics of the brace position to us, because we don't want to look it up. We want you to tell us on Twitter or like in a review, a 5-star review. But you know, we've asked you for a lot here, but if you could also give us the physics of the brace position, we would appreciate it.
Yeah, that would be good. I'd like to know. So yeah, this is when things are like actually going down. So Charles knows that this is like he's the guy. He also can't get himself in a brace position, I don't think. He knows
Charles
that
is a septuagenarian. Yeah. I mean, you know, we can't really blame him.
Yeah. So he texts Zoe and Dee Dee and kind of says, you know, like, I love you, but then like leaves, like you said, that cryptic message of, I think, like, my little pilgrim.
Yeah, something about like your that. Pilgrim loves you or something like that.
Yeah, so I'm like, is that a secret code? I'm also podcasting about National Treasure, so I'm like, oh, is that a cipher? Is that some sort of like puzzle I need to figure out? I don't know. so yeah,
you're in the mode of
solving National mysteries, Treasure,
to get puzzles and codes.
Yeah. So this is then we get the ditching announcement. I didn't even know this was like a thing, but you have corroborated that this is a thing by your viewing of Plane today. So
yeah, I think that means get ready to get out of the plane if we can land it. Like,
yeah,
if we can land it, like, we're getting out of this plane.
Yes. Eddie texts Lacey and like basically like just like an I love you. Lacey doesn't find out later until she's at the gas station like what's really going down. She tries to go back to sit back with everybody and she gets kicked back up. She's like, it's my family.
Like, yo, lady, I get it, but we're trying to like get some order on this plane. Like, I don't need to be risking my life trying to get you back to your seat. Can you just be calm and chill? I know we're about to die, but yeah, you know, I don't know. It was just like, it gave, can I speak to your manager energy? Like,
yes.
Like, yeah. I'm going to do what I want. I don't care what you say.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, she was frantic. They were all about to die. I can't really blame her too much.
Everyone's going into their last visions at this point. Eddie's mom is seeing a birth. I think it was Eddie's birth because we do see like a little Jordan baby interaction later.
Maybe.
I'm guessing. But she's thinking about a birth of one of her children.
She probably loves Eddie more than Jordan at this point. She's more potential than Eddie, so she's probably thinking about Eddie.
Yeah, because he's like a piano virtuoso. He's played Carnegie Hall. He's got all this stuff going for him.
Not the disappointment that Jordan is.
Yeah, seriously, Jordan.
Get your life together, Jordan. I know it's over now, but Jordan. You know, I know it's over now, but should have got it together beforehand.
Eddie is picturing, and maybe also Jordan. I think this was like a share. No, Jordan is picturing Eddie's birth, I guess, or something is happening there. But there's also a shared scene of Eddie and Jordan on the beach because Jordan had said, like, as the plane was going down, like, just think about we can go to the beach tomorrow. Everyone else is kind of having like pictures of their loved ones. And this is where it goes like mountains, trees, plane crash.
Yeah.
That was it.
It was tragic. It was traumatic and tragic.
Yes. After the plane crashes, we get a scene of this guy like getting high.
What is this now? Because this was after the plane crash. This was like near the end of the episode. I was like, we get another story. We're getting another person we got to keep track of.
Yeah. This is who I put in my notes as rescue guy. I had looked, I could not find his name. So we do not know his name yet, but he is played by Joe Tippett, who you may know from The Mayor of Easttown or The Morning Show, or as the fiance to Sarah Bareilles.
Oh my.
So Mayor of Easttown is the one I know him the most from.
No early 2000s show that I can connect him to.
Not off the top of my head, no.
Because, you know, that's my frame of reference for everything, apparently.
I went for recency on this one.
Yeah.
So he gets a phone call. He heads out to the plane site. Connie Britton gets a message on her phone, basically like a news alert that the plane has gone down. Adrian is getting a message about this while she's attending Byron's funeral. That was like her last thing she was going to do in her official capacity as working for the congresswoman. Eddie's aunt sees the news at the gas station at one of those like TV news things. Mm-hmm. And Kojo also gets the message on his phone in Ghana. So at this point, everybody knows. Rescue guy comes off of his high pretty quick with the sobering reality of what's around him.
This whole like getting to the crash site and looking around, I thought they were all very calm. They were just like, huh. It's just a plane crash site.
I think it smells bad scene.
Yeah, just going about our day, just going into the crash site, just clocking in and clocking out. Nobody was like, oh my God, this is so crazy. Yeah. I mean, I guess if they're rescue people, they've seen some stuff, but I thought the urgency was not there. and the grim, like, I was like, you know, this part of it, definitely not for young adults, because there was a lot of body parts, a lot of like dead, you know, dead bodies around. I was like, ooh, this is grim.
Yeah, and I feel like if I had a trip coming up, I probably wouldn't show this to children. Yeah.
Don't show the same as getting on a plane anytime soon.
Not so much. But while rescue guy is walking around, he hears a, I'm over here, or I'm here. And he uncovers Eddie from the wreckage.
So, seemingly rescue guy is going to get a storyline on this show.
I mean, it's Joe Tippett.
Yeah, we need Joe Tippett. We need to get Joe Tippett.
Yeah.
Is this one character
too
many?
You hire the fiance of Sarah Bareilles for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. You can't just have him play a minor role.
No.
But is this one character too many? Like, it's like we got to keep track of this guy too. Like, what is this guy's story going to be like?
We podcast about This Is Us. We have like so many
characters. Well, This Is Us had its moment of too many characters. I think by the end they kind of narrowed it down because it killed some people. But I mean, this is maybe a bridge too far. Like, we got to keep track of the rescue guy and his crack addiction or whatever he was smoking.
I don't know how long he'll be there. Yeah, I mean, right now, I think his mission is going to be getting getting Eddie to California to be with his aunt. I feel like
you have to drive him now to LA.
Yeah, he's not getting back on a plane.
You can't on a plane now. So, like, that's too traumatic. You got to drive this young man back to his aunt.
Yeah.
They're in what, Colorado? Ooh, that's a ways away from LA. So it's gonna be, oh my gosh, is this whole second episode gonna be just like a road trip with Eddie and this guy that's high on crack trying to drive him to LA? That's a show. That is an episode I will be happy to watch. And like, that's something.
Well, we'll find out as we continue our Dear Edward journey. That is the pilot. Before we leave the pilot, though, I thought it was funny or interesting that it was called The Pilot and it's about planes. Pilot. You know what I mean? Anywho, this episode was directed by Fisher Stevens. Everyone, you know, I know him from a place of the early 80s in such movies as Short Circuit and Hackers. But if you go to the early 2000s, Jason, where can you find him?
Maybe late 90s.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure when this show was on, but early edition.
Yes.
He's the best friend of Kyle Chandler, who gets the early editions in early edition. He gets the early, you know, he gets the paper a day ahead of time.
The Cat Future paper.
The cat delivers him a future newspaper.
Yeah.
And he goes to stop bad things from happening to people that were in the newspaper, and the newspaper changes. It's a great show. If you haven't seen it, go search it out. But Fisher Stevens is the best friend of the main character. And that's where I know Fisher Stevens from. I don't care about all these other great shows. You're talking about Succession, Blacklist. Yeah, I do remember him from Blacklist, though. I do recall him from Blacklist.
Yeah.
I watched a couple seasons of Blacklist, but you know.
He's also Hugo on Succession, which is coming up soon. So if you are looking for some Fisher Stevens in your life, you can find him there too. I saw the title card come up and it was like, the same Fisher Stevens.
Yeah, I saw that too. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
So we shall see what happens to other characters. We made some predictions. Anything else?
Overall. Your thoughts on this first episode. Your thoughts of what we're in for in these 10 episodes.
Well, we're in for some grief. I could tell you that much. Grief is going to be grief and grief process. I think it's really interesting that grief is so, it's on a lot of Apple TV shows. We've got grief here. We've got grief in Shrinking, and we've got grief in Ted Lasso. I'm like, Apple, what is happening here?
Severance deal with some grief.
Yeah. Severance also aspects. Got grief in there too. So we got some grief. I think we have some characters, you know, meeting each other in the future. But I think for this episode, it was kind of like the why the rest of the episodes will matter episode. Mm-hmm. It was just setting the very foundation. I'm not necessarily connected or attached to any of these characters, but I am intrigued by the characters. So that's kind of where I see it. How about you?
I think, you know, there are too many characters. I'll say that.
There are.
That's my feeling. There are too many storylines to connect to really make us care about all of the storylines. If we're splitting our time between so many storylines, are we really going to get enough time in any one of them? You said something that, you know, I really related to, and you were like, you know, I don't feel a connection to any of the characters yet. Something that, you know, for those that don't know, Marissa and I covered the last season of This Is Us, here on Postal Recaps. And something that I really love about This Is Us is I felt connected to those characters from the pilot episode. That pilot episode did so much good work for that show. It made me feel for all the characters. I don't feel that for anyone here yet. I don't even like freaking Edward. Like, you know, Edward.
Not from Twilight.
Not from Twilight. Not that Edward. I don't like, well, I won't get into that. But you know,
Edward.
Yeah. Boy, where do I have any good Edwards? I don't know. I'm gonna have to inspect that in my life when I have problems with Edwards. But yes, I don't feel a connection to any of the characters yet. I hope to. I hope that we will by episode two or three, we'll be like, okay, I'm very invested in, you know, a lot of these characters. I hope that's where we are. You know, at that point, I do understand the show had to do a lot of setup here in this premiere episode. So I will give it some grace and we'll see where we land. Oh, I should not have said that. Oh boy.
Well, oh boy. Also, like, I hope the color tone changes a little bit on the show.
It's very gray, very dull. Yes, yeah. I hope there's like, I hope there's some levity somewhere.
Yeah.
Because if we have to sit through 10 episodes of what we got here, which was so, you know, depressing, so dull, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough ride.
I know that Parenthood had its share of drama, but it also had a share of comedy. So I have hopes that there will be some of that in the future. But yes, I just, listeners, we might be making some real bad jokes along the way to keep it going.
Well, listen, when we you know, got this assignment, I said, listen, we have to find some way to really like bring it up a little
bit.
We can't just sit here and be like, wasn't that sad, that was real sad, right? Oh my gosh, that was terrible. We have to liven it up a little. Yes. Okay, so if I make some bad jokes, that's my thing, y'all. If you don't know me, that's my thing. Okay, Marissa does her part, laughs at my bad jokes, to be better about the bad jokes, but that's what I'm here for. Like, I don't want to make this a cry fest. We are going to cry, I'm sure, at some point.
Yeah.
But I really want to kind of also bring some fun to it, because I mean, it's not like this is a true story where we have to feel for real people,
yeah.
Right? So, you know, I'm, you know, if I make some bad jokes, you know, that's what I'm here for. And if you have a problem, lighten up. Come on. You didn't come here to cry with us.
Well, or maybe you did. If you did, we're here for that too.
Yeah, we're here for that too.
Like, we're here for the crying and the laughing.
Yeah, bring it up
like
a little bit.
Like a try, a balance.
Yeah. You know.
Well, Jason, thanks for spending your Plainfield day with us today.
I did. This was not the plan when I woke up today. I did not plan to see two plane crashes in media. I did plan for one. I didn't plan for two. The plane movie was like a kind of spur of the moment thing. And it, you know, like I said, just hit me as I was watching Dear Edward. I was like, why have I seen two properties today that deal with plane crashes? That's crazy. you're welcome, Marissa. It was my pleasure. You know, I'll be upfront with the audience. Like, I didn't necessarily plan on watching Dear Edward. But the opportunity came across, you know, our desk.
Yeah.
And to podcast together with Marissa, that was like all I needed. So I love podcasts with Marissa. For those that don't, I mean, for those that haven't followed us in our journey together, Marissa and I have done, you know, like I said, This Is Us. We also cover Cobra Kai. So I love podcasts with you, Marissa. So I'm looking forward to this, no matter how this show goes.
Yeah, we were just talking about like finding another show to podcast about, and this kind of came our way. And so we were taking the opportunity to do that. And I'm very happy to be podcasting with you again as well. Yeah. So thank you to everyone for listening. If you made it this far, we really, really appreciate you.
If you didn't cut it off by us making fun of the people that are dying on the show, then, you know, welcome to our fun time.
But other than planes, trains, and automobiles, what are you talking about on the internet these days?
Yeah, I got a few things going on. You can regularly find me on the Rob Has a Podcast for Hap Ups Network, talking about the reality show Married at First Sight on the podcast A Perfect Match that I do with my co-host Asia Welch. We have so much fun over there. You don't even have to watch the show. We're talking about, we break it all down for you with fun jokes. I mean, if you had a good time with me today, you'll have a good time with me there. If you can't stand me after this, well, you probably don't want to go there. That's where you can find me regularly. I'm also right now covering Extraordinary here on Poster Recast.
How's it going?
It's so much fun. That show is out of this world crazy and wacky, and the world itself is very fun. You know, if you are sensitive, it's probably not the show for you. It does take it's a lot of raunchy jokes. But we're having a lot of fun over there so far. You can catch me and the wonderful Sausage Joseph covering that show here on Post Show Recaps. So that's where you can find me. You can find me on Twitter at JAYR1085. Marissa, give us your list of stuff.
Oh boy. Well, I am currently wrapping up coverage of National Treasure, Edge of History with Jessica Sterling. That show is a show in the National Treasure universe. And
it's a show you can find on a television.
It's a show you can watch and you can listen to us podcast. Justin and I have a lot of fun on the podcast. The show you will have to make your own decisions on. Oh boy. But it's a good time.
That is a ringing endorsement.
It's like, I don't know. It's a lot of like, I don't know, show. I don't know. Show. Anywho, you can catch that here on PSR. Also, I'm talking about you, the show.
You're talking about me? Is it Jason Reed show?
Yeah.
I got to listen to that. I didn't realize y'all were doing that
show. I don't
know
if you want this you to be the you show that we talk about because it's a bit much. But season 4 of You on Netflix is starting next week. So with Tanya Starks and I have been going through all of the seasons before, seasons 1, season 2, season 3, and gearing up for season 4. And we have a lot planned for that. So you can catch that here on PSR. And then finally, I was invited to be in the new premiere show for PSR, PSRPG, where we are role-playing games in different show settings. So the one that I was part of was for Willow, and that premieres on Saturday.
Okay, so. I mean, so when is the This Is Us RPG?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Let me tell Philly. Like, that would be so world, fun.
Set in the world of flash forwards, flashbacks.
Who would you play? Who would you play?
I mean, who would I play? I would want to be Randall, but I feel like that everyone's going to be fighting over Randall. Maybe I'll be Toby. I want to be Toby.
Oh, I'd be Tess.
You'd be Tess? Okay. I mean, yeah, that's fine.
Little, you know, troublemaker at times. All right, that about does it for here. Anything else you want to say, Jason, about this one? We'll be back tomorrow with 2 more episodes covering 2 and 3, so if you can't wait till then, I don't know what to do. You can find us on the Cobra Kai podcast. Check that out.
Yeah, check out our back catalog.
Yeah.
As far as this show, we'll get double the fun tomorrow because we're covering 2 episodes in 1 podcast, so if you like this, we're going to do double tomorrow.
All right, until then, bye.